but times that we never really realized would come so vividly before us as they are at this time that we live. So we wanted to fellowship a little bit around that upon this evening. I think everything's up and running there now. I'll share my screen. So we haven't had a look at this for quite a few months, and there's been quite a lot of change in this issue of Ukraine, of Watch Russia. Now, we had a look at this right at the time when the events took place. And just to say straight away is that we're looking at modern events made clear by prophecy. We're not looking at politics. We're not interested in politics. We know that politics is very divisive. Politics is the wrong spirit. We are all one in Christ, no matter what nation. There's wonderful believers in Ukraine, wonderful believers in Russia. Now, we're not looking at things in that kind of a light. But when certain things take place that flash before us as a red light of something, now, there's certain things that are portents. Jesus spoke of nation against nation and different things. So we're looking at this particular topic in this light, modern events made clear by prophecy. You know, so we're not trying to get into it in any other way. And our scripture that we'd like to use this evening is Revelation 11, verse 14. And behold, the second woe is past. Sorry, the second woe is past. And behold, the third woe cometh quickly. That's going to be our thought. We put the topic as we're in the shadows of the third woe. And we really are, as we'll see as we get into it. And just wanted to get into this a little bit, aiming a little bit at new people, young people, people that have questions. And I know years back we went through some of these things, the principles of the third woe, for Armageddon and stuff in church. But it's been quite some time. And I don't think a lot of people don't realize the seriousness of these things, or don't realize the implications sometimes of what some of these things mean. So may the Lord help us just to put it across in a simple way upon this evening. But first, we ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we need you this evening. Please bless and help us in this study. Bless everything that would be said. Guide our thoughts, guide our meditations, guide our words. Father, may it be pleasing to you, and may you be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So God bless you, saints. It's really good to see each and every one who's joined this evening. Just trying to get it so that we can find out who it is who's got something unmuted there. If I just fix that for us there. Okay, there's two people. So they are now officially muzzled, we hope. Okay. So we're looking at this thought. We're looking at, if I bring back the title again, we'd like to get into it, Shadows of the Third Woe. Now, if we're speaking of being in the shadows of something, it means that something is approaching. The main event hasn't yet come. The person hasn't come. Whatever it is hasn't come. The great shadow of the storm cloud. The shadow comes first, and then the actual cloud itself comes afterwards. So you get the actual event coming down the way. And I think we'll see it, that we're living right in the shadows of this third woe. Like I say, it's not politics. I found this, Billy Graham said, was really interesting, and I thought I'd read it. I put it on here. He said this years ago. He said, what a moment to take the newspaper in one hand and the Bible in the other and watch the unfolding of the great drama of the ages. Yeah, so he was speaking about this great symphony in the end time, just, you know, the way that we would look at it. So taking the Bible in one hand, you take in the other hand, and you're just comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So I just have to keep muting people. Sorry for that. Okay. He says, this is an exciting and thrilling time to be alive. I would not want to live in any other period. You know, so we're living in a time of mercy and judgment. We're living right in the shadows of the coming of the Lord. We're living right in the shadows of the millennium, when Christ will rule and reign for 1,000 years. Friends, for a believer, this is powerful. This is an exciting time. But as we said the other day, watchmen, what of the night? When in Isaiah, when the watchman on the wall would be the cry would go out at night, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what time is it? And the watchman on the wall would say, the morning cometh. but the night also. You read it in Isaiah. So the morning is coming, the dawning of that great day of the Lord, where now the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. But before then, night cometh, judgment cometh, the third woe cometh quickly. And we'll look at a little bit of that by the grace of God this evening. So what a moment he says to live in. Take your Bible, take your newspaper, compare things, and you're going to see quite a bit. When in Limerick on Sunday, I read this scripture, and we'll speak a little bit down this line from Jeremiah 24, the judgments of God. And when the Lord starts to judge the nations, when he judged Israel, God is righteous in his judgment. He doesn't change his methods or his modes of judgment. Jeremiah 24, verse 10, I will send the sword and the famine and the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and their fathers. So there was the threefold manner of judgment. You do find there's another one you can add to that as well. And it's the sword, the famine, and the pestilence. And as we speak now of the judgments of God already being in the earth, the Lord is already starting to pour out his judgments in measure upon our age. You know, we see it quite clearly. We've had our famine has already started. Now, we had the Great Recession. We could have called it the Great Famine, because famine strikes your economies. Famine affects your jobs. Famines, people struggle for food and so forth. So now our Great Recession, now we have the energy crisis. The world just seems to be lurching from one crisis to another. They can't seem to recover things down the financial way. And the decisions some of these governments are making, you shake your head, like in Britain last week. You just shake your head at what the chancellor and the decisions they made, and just caused almost the whole economy to collapse. Oh, friends, you say, my, at such a time like this, you need a Joseph in the land. You need someone who can discern the signs of the times, because, you know, behold, the great famine is coming. So we see the birth pains of that now. We see the economies, we see the world economies are shaking, and we seem to be heading into a recession now. And you find companies are starting to trim staff, and people are looking ahead and saying there's a downturn. The stock markets have been going down for months now. You know, the FTSE and all that, you know, the tech stocks are all on a slide. You saw the crash of cryptocurrency. It was right up 80,000, 100,000, crashed all the way down to 16,000 Bitcoin. You know, so it's really shaky, and recovers a little bit, then it shakes again. So that's God's judgment sign. It's a temporary judgment, is the famine. Secondly, you come with the pestilence. So straight from our famine, as we're trying to recover from the famine, straight away, the world goes into a pestilence. Now, since I was born, since you were born, we never had a global pestilence. We never had a pandemic, but we had now a pandemic. COVID strikes now. And as we said, that it shuts down the nations, and the streets are empty. Businesses are closed. Governments take on billions and billions and billions of debt to keep paying people so they can sit in their homes. It's just another step going. So we have our famine, our pestilence. We're just getting out of COVID. We think things are starting to recover. Now comes the sword, Ukraine now. The sword is bloodshed. It's war. You know, so you find these three things, they always come. You know, I was speaking to a brother the other day and saying, if you go and look at when the Azusa Street revival happened and the sealing angel went forth from Azusa Street, the Welsh revival, the great new century awakening, the revival in India spilt into South Africa at the beginning, you know, 1899, 1900, up to 1906, 1910, 1911, the great move of God, the sealing move. What came after that? In that time, the first thing that came was the sword. Here came World War I. And that whole generation of young men now, they fell under, you know, this, like God had sealed the people away. Now judgment came in a measure. Here came the sword. It was a global war, World War I, the Great War. Straight after the World War, World War I, which finished 1918, came the Spanish flu. The Spanish flu killed tens of millions of people right into the 1920s. So from the sword, now we got the pestilence. And from the pestilence, when the world was trying to recover, we got the famine, we got the Great Depression, 1928, 1929, which took things into a great famine right through the 1930s. And then came war again, then came the sword, and it's just going on. And that's the age we're living in. Now we're living in an age where it's prophesied under our seal, the fourth seal, that this is the way that it's got to be. Look at our fourth seal, Revelation 6, verse 7 and 8, which is our seal that we're under. When it opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. That's the eagle. So the eagle is saying to the bride, come and see. Let me show you. And I looked and beheld a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed him. And if we finish that verse, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, there's your famine, and with death, there's your pestilence. So it's prophesied under our seal that these things are going to be visited before they come in the fullness in the tribulation period. You know, before you find the climax comes, we find these temporary judgments just striking this age one after another. The sword, the pestilence, the famine. Yeah, and it's heading somewhere. We know it's going to come to the final famine, the final collapse of the economies, and then comes the economy of the beast. The beast is going to rise up. You won't be able to buy or sell unless you're part of his economy, take on his mark. He's going to control the economies of the world. We're coming to, you know, the great pestilence, the plagues are going to be poured forth upon all them in the tribulation period that have the mark of the beast. And there's going to be grievous sores visited upon them. You read in the book of Revelation. So the pestilence is going to be poured on in its fullness, the plagues, the vials. And then will come the final sword, Armageddon, which finishes all things. You know, when man, who's now perfected the instruments of his own destruction, as we'll see, and man will, and this world will be burnt with fire, the burning of Sodom, exactly as the scripture had said. You know, so this is just the signs of the times. And this Ukraine war is now right in the heart of Europe, right in our days now. You see bloodshed. You see nation against nation. You see all these kind of things. Friends, these things mean something. But what's causing men's hearts now to fail them for fear is this talk now this week of tactical nuclear weapons. Could Russia use tactical nuclear weapons? Yeah, that's what everyone's starting to worry about, because they see that Putin's war is not going the way that he thought. You know, it's reversed now. You know, it's turned completely around. And now Russia's on the back foot and Ukraine has taken the offensive. And this man, Putin, with his Armageddon anointing, people are really starting to fear that this man could use his nuclear weapons. And you'll see it in the newspapers all over. You'll see it today. I mean, just overnight, Ukraine took a huge amount of territory again. They've got a real upper hand over Russia. Look at that one on the left. Putin flirts again with the grim prospect of nuclear war. He warned people last week in his very, very strange speech that he gave, annexing Ukrainian territory that his forces haven't yet possessed, making it part of Russia. And he warned the West. He says, we will protect our territory by any means. He says, we have the weapons, we have the arsenal, and he's threatening nuclear war. And now a nuclear submarine has just left Russia open, if you saw today, and everyone's starting to look and say, but hey, what has this been, heading to the Arctic? Yeah, so there's the saber rattling. There's this talk of nuclear war, of using nuclear weapons. And the other headline, is Vladimir Putin happy to risk nuclear war to avoid admitting defeat? So everyone's worried that as he gets presses in the corner and as his army loses, this man could use that nuclear button. And friends, then we're in a lot of trouble, because then you bring in the end of the age, because that's the third war. The third war comes, and that's a nuclear war, the war to end all wars. That's the final judgment. So if I wasn't a believer, if I didn't know the scriptures, if I didn't know modern events made clear by prophecy what's to come next, I would also fear in a time like this. I see the Baltic states, Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, the people are fearing war. No, because they know this man, he can do it. He invaded Georgia, he invaded Syria, he invaded, you know, a lot of different places over the years. Syria and what's the other place that he went into? Crimea. So people are worried, saying this man has the capability, he could press this button. And in the midst of it all, while people worry about that and think about it, this is exactly what's happened overnight and this week. We see the red area there in Kherson, the southwest of Ukraine, that was all held by Russia. Now, the yellow territory they've already regained, the red territory is just in the last few days, this is territory the Ukrainians are regaining again. And the tanks have broken through the Russian front lines. They've got a serious momentum, and it's very likely that that whole region is going to fall into the hands of Ukraine again. And the Russians are on the back foot continually. The other one in Kharkiv, you saw it last month. All of that green area used to be under Russia. But just in a lightning offensive over 5 days, just about, you know, the Ukrainians broke through with their tanks and captured huge amounts of their territory back. And now the blue portion is what's been captured just in the last few days, and the gray portion is where the fighting is now. So you can see this war is not going the way that Putin thought that it was. You know, that builds the pressure, and everyone's starting to worry and say, hey, this is a nuclear nation. Is this man going to use his nuclear weapons, which could bring the end of mankind? But they're speaking of him not using his big weapons, but his tactical nuclear weapons. No, so we need to understand a little bit about, you know, what are these things? This is David Petraeus. I've known this guy for years. He's a very knowledgeable guy about current events. He was in charge of the CIA. He was in charge of the American military for many years. And at the bottom there, Ukraine takes back dozens of towns. Just today's headline. In their next regions, Putin is out of moves, ex-CIA chief says. And all of the military analysts are saying the same as him on the newspaper, the ABC News. Putin faces irreversible reality in Ukraine invasion, despite latest moves. So they're all saying that Russia is not going to turn this around now. You know, once this momentum has changed, Russia doesn't have the resources, doesn't have the men, doesn't have the capability, the motivation. And it looks like you're going to lose this war. And when this man's cornered, put in a corner, is he going to use those weapons? And you can understand the concern of people. But obviously, we're not governed by the newspapers. We're not governed by current events. We are sixth sense people. We're governed by faith, by revelation, by vindicated prophecy. What says the word? What says the message about these things? That's where we get our, we don't have to worry about waiting for tomorrow's newspaper to come. Prophecy already, revelation already unveils to us tomorrow's headlines. We know what's coming next. So I thought maybe just to go through a little bit of it now, you know, but just to update, maybe people don't follow these things. I follow these things closely because the prophet was told, the angel told him, watch Russia, pay attention. So I watch these things and you see, but my, this took an unexpected turn, this war, which means something and it's leading to something. So that's Petraeus. So here's the leader of Chechnya. He's a Muslim guy. He's a radical. He's Vladimir Putin's comrade, Kadyrov. He urges Putin to use low-intensity nuclear weapons in Ukraine just this last few days. So these of Kazakhstan and all these guys, Chechnya, they're saying, hey, use your weapons. Don't let Ukraine win this war. And it says the nuclear threat remains after the Russian president's speech on the annexation of Kherson, Luhansk, Donetsk, and Zaporizhia. And the Chechen leader demands that he should use his nuclear arsenal now. So friends, we've never lived, since I was born, there's never been a time, I can never remember this. The last time it came like this was the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1961-62, when the prophet preached handwriting on the wall, when the Russians put nuclear missiles in Cuba. And John F. Kennedy now told them, if you don't take those weapons, we're going to use our nuclear weapons. And the world came 3 minutes to midnight then. Remember, the prophet would always say that 3 minutes to midnight at that kind of a, in those seasons. But the world hasn't been this close to people actually using these weapons since the 1960s up to now. But now it's coming into crisis. And these are birth pains, friends. These are signs of the end. Because nuclear weapons are going to be used. That's going to be what causes the third world. That's going to finish all things in the end. And now we're seeing those birth pains. We're seeing these are portents of things that are to come. So now Petraeus, he said, if Russia uses tactical nuclear weapons, we'll understand that just now. They say America, US, and NATO will destroy Russia's troops if Putin uses nuclear weapons in Ukraine. So they've already agreed, and it's already been communicated to Putin by the West, that if you use nuclear weapons in Ukraine, we have the capability, because we've seen it in this war. The Russian weapons and the Russian army hasn't been very good. NATO has the stealth bombers, has the capability, the intelligence to destroy every Russian facility in Ukraine, every weapon and its fleet in the Black Sea. And they've warned Putin. They told him, if you use a nuclear weapon in Ukraine, we're going to destroy you. And then, friends, you're into Armageddon. So you can see the tension is building. We're heading into that season of time that these unthinkable things are starting to become thinkable. And that's why the doomsday clock, which was 3 minutes to midnight in the 1960s, and then when peace came, it went to 10 minutes to midnight, 15 minutes to midnight. They now put it into seconds. They now say it's 100 seconds to midnight. You know, it's getting so close. You know, these people analyze the situation and the peril that the world is in. They call it the doomsday clock. And they're saying it's 100 seconds to midnight. That's the assessment of things. You know, so all we can say is it's late. Even if the people in the world are saying it's late, the signs of the times are all around. We just need to discern the signs of the times. Like when Jesus warned Israel and said, when you see Jerusalem compassed by armies, flee to the mountains. Don't stay in the city. He showed them the signs of the times to watch out for. And then the Romans came and the believers, now out they went because they knew what to expect. They knew what was to come. So it's good for us to discern the signs of the times. So what are tactical nuclear weapons that Putin is threatening to use? So tactical nuclear weapons are small nuclear warheads and delivery systems, missiles, artillery and stuff, intended for use on the battlefield or for a limited strike. They're designed to destroy enemy targets in a specific area without causing widespread radioactive fallout. So it's not these big nuclear missiles. It's limited. The smallest tactical nuclear weapons can be 1 kiloton or less. The largest ones as big as 100 kilotons. And to give comparison, it tells you that Hiroshima, 1945, when America dropped the atomic bomb, it was 15 kilotons. So some of these tactical nuclear weapons, they're 8-9 times more powerful than Hiroshima, the power of the bomb. So Hiroshima was 15 kilotons. Some of these are up to 100. So you can just imagine the awesome power in a single weapon. It's hard to envision the amount of power there can be in a single weapon. And how are these things delivered? Okay, Russia, what kind of tactical nuclear weapons does it have? It has about 2,000 of them. Wow. So you can destroy a city, Hiroshima, with one bomb, 15 kiloton. And just these tactical smaller nuclear weapons, Russia has about 2,000 of them. I mean, that could destroy the whole nation of Ukraine 100 times over. Just those small weapons that they have, if they use them. And they can be delivered on cruise missiles there. They can be delivered on bigger missiles. They can even be shot through artillery, put in artillery shells and shot. And it's a nuclear explosion that takes place. Wow. So there's about 2,000 of them. So maybe people don't realize it. So I went and just took, this is the bomb that struck Hiroshima. There's a site you can go to, put your location. It'll show you that if that same 15 kiloton bomb that was dropped in Hiroshima was dropped wherever you select, this would be the effects it would have. So I said, okay, let it be dropped right in the center of Dublin. Let come on O'Connell Street. And if you have a look on that map, so the red area, within half a mile of the bomb, 90% of people will be killed by heavy fire and blast. Yeah. Within 1 mile, which is the orange, 70% of people are killed by the blast and the fire. Everything up to this distance is completely destroyed by heavy fire from the explosion. Okay. Then you get to your orange ring, which takes us right into Phoenix Park. If you know Dublin. So the whole city center is in the red and that second portion of red. And then orange, within 3 miles of the bomb, one bomb, not even a big bomb, just an old bomb from 1945, one nuclear bomb. Buildings up to this distance are heavily destroyed by fire that spreads from ground zero. So right up to Phoenix Park, that includes all Sandy Mount, right to Clonskay, right the way through to Cabra. Nothing's left. Everything is destroyed by a single weapon of 15 kilotons. So Russia has these in artillery shells. It can shoot one artillery shell and destroy an entire city like that. And then the blast, because of the blast wave as it goes out, the yellow now within 12 miles, that's right up to Lake Slip. That's past Castle Knock. You've already hitting Brother George there in Blanche. Hey. Within 12, buildings are safe, but windows might be broken. So even 12 miles away, the buildings will shake and windows will break. So you can just imagine on a small little 15 kiloton nuclear missile. Now, Russia has 800 and 1,000 kiloton nuclear missiles. So you've got missiles that are 30 times, 60 times more powerful than this. We cannot understand, friends, the power, like the prophet says, that is in the hands of wicked men. I put it for people who live up in the north. I can see Cardell there. I mean, dropping an atomic bomb on Banbridge. There's nothing of Banbridge where we live left. I mean, this is completely destroyed in the red and the orange, in the red, the two red rings in the middle. And then up to Brother Tommy in Scarver, he's just about destroyed by the blast out in Scarver. And us, between where we're living now, between Donaghcloney and Dromore there, all of our windows, so far as we are, our windows break. You know, the blast will shake us even where we are. So one bomb, a small nuclear bomb, can do that kind of a damage. And we're living in a nuclear age. And now they're starting to do saber rattling about these things. Friends, these are really signs of the times. So that's the tactical nuclear missiles. You know, the smaller ones. Let's just have a look a bit at the strategic ones. These are the main nuclear missiles now. So the Americans have the Minuteman III. That's their current ICBM, intercontinental ballistic missile. Shoot it 20, 30 minutes later. It's got 8 warheads inside of there, shoots across the sky, goes into space, comes down, opens up, drops 8 nuclear missiles onto a Russian city. Russia has its as well. You can't see it. It's very small there. Their biggest missile, the one they're using there on the very right-hand side, is the SS-18, and they call it Satan. It's called the SS-18 Satan nuclear missile. That's their biggest one, and that's just as powerful as the American ones. How many do they have? U.S. has 5,500 of them. Russia has 6,200 of them. And then you go on down. Israel has 90. India has 160. North Korea has 45. Pakistan has 165. Britain, 225 in its submarines. France has 290. China has 350. Friends, this world has got so... it's sitting on a powder keg. That is what it literally is doing. There's so much potential for man to bring about the burning of Sodom that I don't think people realize just how many weapons people have. And if Hiroshima was an average of 15 kilotons to destroy the city of Hiroshima, the average of each of these missiles is 300 kilotons. So it's 20 times bigger than what destroyed Hiroshima. It's hard to imagine, but if you put it in context, there's enough power there, they say, to destroy the world 66 times over. So even if they cut their nuclear arsenals in half, they could still destroy the world 33 times. If they cut it in half again, you can still destroy the entire world 16 times. Cut it in half again, destroyed 8 times. Cut it in half again, destroyed 4 times. Cut it in half again. So no matter how many missiles, and they're never going to do it. Yeah, because this is their so-called deterrence. But now for the first time we see in our age, people are starting to speak of using these kind of things in Europe in battle. There hasn't been a nuclear bomb used in warfare since the beginning of the Second World War, 1945. That's what ended the Second Woe. But now, behold, the Third Woe is coming. And the Third Woe, it's the fullness now. What we've seen in part in days gone by, we're going to see in the fullness of its power in the next war that is to come. And look at the scriptures, what they say. If you think of this power and this intense heat, hotter than the surface of the sun, that's how hot these missiles are when they explode, the nuclear fission or fusion, whatever, and the heat radiates out and the blast and the wind and the tempest. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. Malachi 4:1. You can understand now. It's going to burn as an oven. A hot oven. Not just your oven in the kitchen, but those ovens, you know, when you put your metal inside and you melt it in a furnace. The day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, shall leave them by the root nor branch. There'll be nothing left at all of them. You can see that, you know, what we're facing up to in this world, it's scriptural. The scripture speaks about it. Scripture speaks about Armageddon, speaks about the use of these weapons. man never had the potential, never had the capability to bring about the fulfillment that the world this time will not be destroyed by water, as the Lord promised that he'd never do again in the days of Noah. But this time it's to be destroyed by fire. There was never the capacity to do that. But now man has the capability 66 times over to bring that to pass, to destroy this entire world with fire. Isaiah 29 speaks exactly of what happens in nuclear war. Verse 6, when it speaks of judgment. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder. So there's the great noise, blast that goes forth. And with an earthquake, it literally shakes the earth, the power of one of these weapons. And with great noise, and with a storm, there's a great hurricane, greater than a hurricane wind, that just flattens everything going out from the blast. A great storm goes forth, and a tempest. It's a perfect word to use it. And finally comes the flame of devouring fire behind that. So there's such a blast, such a noise, such a shaking comes, blows buildings down, and then the fire now follows behind and consumes things. So you'll rarely see that Isaiah, he saw the sixth seal. You know, he saw the third woe. He saw Armageddon. And he put it in his terms. And friends, that's a very appropriate. What does it say about Zechariah? Sees the nations coming against Jerusalem in the last days. He sees it when it comes to Armageddon time. And he speaks of what will happen to the people. And this shall be the plague. It's a time of the plagues. Wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Yay! Friends, that's exactly what it does. It just consumes people, this kind of war. It's not conventional war. It's not shooting people and days gone by with bows and arrows. Now you just send one missile with 8 nuclear warheads, and you can destroy cities. In an instant, just in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, when that nuclear bomb fell on Hiroshima and exploded in the air, those that were down immediately below, when that great heat, that flash struck, there was nothing left of the people. They were vaporized. The only thing left was their shadows were burnt into the pavement. Just instantly, they didn't exist anymore. Just, you cannot understand, friends, the intensity of these kind of weapons, what a nuclear war will be like using these kind of weapons. And when you see someone in our age, a leader of a nation with 6,500 of these big missiles and 2,000 smaller ones, threatened that if you come and touch this land that I'm taking away from this sovereign nation, Ukraine, I'm going to use all means to defend this land. You can understand why the world is starting to, its heart is starting to get a little bit fearful to say, but hey, does this man really mean what he's saying? What about in Revelation 18 when it speaks about the judgment of the harlot of Rome? When it speaks about how is Rome going to be destroyed under the vials, under the plagues? Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord who God who judges her. So we know prophecy, thus saith the Lord. Rome will be burnt, destroyed by Russia in a single hour. It'll be burnt with fire because that's the way that you'd burn out. You'd burn the harlot in days gone by. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived delicious with it, they shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Standing far off, the prophet said it to Perry Green, they're standing far off because of the radiation. Because when a city has been burnt like that, it's burning from an atomic warfare, you don't want to go nearby because there's radiation. You'll get contaminated and you'll get radiation sickness. You'll die a horrific death. Standing far off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. Friends, the third world war, Armageddon's not going to be a long war because you don't have long wars when people start using these kind of weapons. You know, you can see it's going to be destroyed. Russia will destroy Rome in a single hour. So when we say, is Putin going to use his weapons? Maybe it won't be him. It'll maybe be the man after him. Who knows? But yes, according to prophecy, according to scripture, these weapons are going to be used. And the seventh vision, behold, the last vision before the second coming of Christ, I saw America. I heard a great blast, and turning around, I saw America, a smoking ruin from horizon to horizon. Just nothing but a smoking ruin. So are these weapons going to be used? Yes, they're going to be used, friends. And what we're seeing now about the birth pains of that final. That's us who'd be living in the shadows of this third world, of this third world war, of this Armageddon that's to come. So we're in the shadows of judgment. We're living in the time of mercy and judgment. We said on Sunday, there's still mercy in the midst of judgment now. That God is judging the nations, but in the midst of it, he's still crying out to the souls of people, crying out for people to turn from their sins, turn from their, like he says in Revelation 18, you know, come out of her. Don't be partaker of their sins. Otherwise, you'll be partaker of her plagues and of the judgments that's going to come on these plagues. So in these things, are there still mercy is still reaching forth. God is still speaking through these things, the voice of the sign speaking to the souls of people. Really, really wanting, really persuading people. But this is the scripture where, I'm just going to stress it once again, because this is the scripture that holds the key to it, friends. Revelation 7. And after these things, I saw four angels stand on the four corners of the earth, north, south, east, and west, holding the four winds of the winds of wars. So holding back this global war, this final war, holding back the winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. So friends, there's divine restraint until the Lord has finished his work of mercy, until he's finished his work of grace. Every judgment, every war, everything that takes place is in measure. It's not in its fullness. Everything, there's restraining. Now, the mercy of God is still restraining, holding back the fullness of judgment. That's the season that we're living in. These four angels symbolically are holding back now these four winds. But you'll find in Revelation 8, when it gets into the woes, those angels are told, let those winds go. And now the fullness of war comes upon the earth. So 1914 to 1918, the first war, the First World War, that war could have gone all the way to Armageddon, but the Lord stopped it. Mysteriously, on the 11th day of the 11th month at 11 o'clock in the morning. Go and read Revelation 11 and see why. You know, that number is very significant. So God stopped that war. Those angels said, no, it's not time yet. 1945, Second World War, the Second World came in. Nuclear weapons were starting to be used now. That could have brought on Armageddon, but those angels were told, stop, hold it back now. Restrain those things no further than that. Why? And I saw another angel ascending from the east. This is Christ now, the one with the open book, with the cloud, clothed with the cloud. He always comes from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So that, friends, is the thing that's holding back this judgment. That's why everything's restrained. If Putin's going to use his weapons, maybe he'll use a tactical nuclear weapon. We don't know. You know, he may do that. But for him to use the fullness of his arsenal, it's not in his remit. It's not in his jurisdiction to make that decision or to do that yet, because there's a divine commission from the throne, the great mighty angel coming down from the east who seals his people in the forehead. He says, no, the judgment can't come until we've sealed the servants of the Lord. And this, obviously, speaking of the 144,000 in the tribulation period. So the fullness of Armageddon, the wars cannot be released until the 144,000 come in. And God cannot judge the Gentile nations fully now until everyone who's ordained unto life has come in, has been sealed in their forehead, and then the world takes on the mark of the beast, then the plagues are poured upon the Gentiles. So we can see this particular scripture, Revelation 7, is the key to understanding, is, you know, oh, missiles going to start flying soon? Is America going to spiral out of control? We can say, according to vindicated prophecy, according to scripture, no, it's not going to happen. It's like Jericho, we said on Sunday, Jericho, the walls couldn't fall. The final collapse couldn't come until Rahab was sealed in her forehead, until she came under the token. She came under the scarlet thread. It couldn't happen. The flood couldn't come in the days of Noah until Noah and his family were safely sealed inside. I mean, it's just the principles of divine judgment. But we're in the shadows of the third world. That's where we're living. This is what Brother Ram says. He says, we see the newspapers. We're looking at them now. You know, we're looking on them too. We're seeing the newspapers. The oncoming storm. When you go home tonight, do me one favor. Don't go to bed till you read Revelation, the 8th chapter. Revelation, the 8th chapter is the three woes. The woes that shall pass over the nations. He says, don't go to bed till you read Revelation, the 8th chapter. You'll see the oncoming plagues and storm to hit the earth. And thunders and lightnings are going to shake the heaven, and woes are going to pass over the nation. And under these woes, man will rot in their flesh. There's going to be the pestilence. Diseases will strike them that doctors know nothing about. So these judgments under the fourth seal, the judgments coming into the tribulation period, the sixth seal, the fullness of judgment. You know, friends, the prophet preached it in Oncoming Storm, a tremendous message. If you've never listened to it, I'd really recommend listen to it, read it. It's a very, very appropriate message to listen to at a time like this, the oncoming plagues that are going to hit the earth. And where is he getting it? Revelations 8:13. Behold, I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. So under Revelations 8, we find there's three woes go forth. The woes would pass over the nations. And the three woes are the three world wars. We know that according to prophecy. We've already had two woes. The first woe, this was the Great War. Second woe, World War II. The third woe cometh quickly. We're between the second and the third woe. That's where we're living, and we wouldn't have time this evening, but we could prove it to you from Scripture that that is exactly where we're living according to the book of Revelation. We're living in Revelation 10, which is between the two woes and the third woe. The two woes in Revelation 8 and 9, then Revelation 10, you find our time, John eating the book, the mighty angel, the open book, the seventh angel, and then Revelation 11 is the third woe. So we're living right between the second woe and the third woe. And that's why I read the scripture in the beginning. Behold, the third woe cometh quickly. We can place that clearly according to scripture. So these three woes are three wars. But before we finish, let's just have a look now and not forget these principles of judgment. This is where we get our confidence from. We don't look on the newspapers. We don't judge things by the internet. These are signs of the times. We discern the signs of the times, but we put it through the thinking man's filter. We put it through the word. We put it through the prophetic filter of the message of the hour. And these principles of divine judgment help us to keep these things in balance. Number one, he will never judge the righteous with the wicked. The Lord will never do that. He never has and never will. God will never judge the righteous with the wicked. He'll always take the righteous out the way first. That's why before the plagues can come, the vials, before the third woe can come, there's got to be a rapture. Because he always takes the righteous out of the way before the judgment comes. We might have judgment in measure now, as we say, the temporary judgments, like it says in the seals, you know, that God is visiting the judgments of God already in the earth. But the fullness of judgment is held back and restrained because God will never judge the righteous with the wicked. And we can take a lot of examples of that once again. But the best one, he has Abraham interceding, Genesis 18, a type of our age, the day of investigating judgment, the time of the judgments of God were ready in the earth. The cry of Sodom had come up to God and God came down, the wickedness of the day, the immorality of the day. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? So he goes right the way down to 10. And the Lord says, I will not destroy the city, even if I find 10 righteous. My, it's an amazing thing to think about. God will not destroy Sodom with its iniquity, with its sin. Sodom, Gomorrah, the cities of the plain. There must have been multitudes of people living there. And the Lord says, this is what the Lord says. Abraham says, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He was interceding with the Lord. He knew the nature of God. He says, surely, Lord, you are a righteous judge. You will never judge the righteous together with the wicked. And what did the Lord say? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. My, the Lord spared Jericho for a season for the sake of a harlot and her family that needed to come in. And only when they were sealed away, then judgment could come, because God will never judge the righteous with the wicked. He had to put them in a safe place. He had to seal them away. He had to put them in his place of refuge. Now go and read your Psalm 27, the rapture psalm. The Lord says that. He'll hide you in his pavilion and in the time of trouble. He'll take you and hide you in his secret place. That's why there's got to be a rapture, friends, before the vials of God's wrath can be poured forth. Don't have time today, but we'll trace it next time through the book of Revelation and prove this principle by the grace of God. And now he says, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous, I'll spare all the place for the sake. And he goes down to 10 and says, if I find 10, I won't destroy the city for 10. So you can imagine when Los Angeles sings, friends, there's not even going to be 10 righteous people in that whole city. Wow, that's a serious thing to think about. Of 11.4 million, and plus San Francisco with the 6 million, Silicon Valley, all that, when that's all sings, that's going to be tens of millions of people. And when the Lord looks down, there's not going to be one of his children there. He'd spare the entire place for the sake of 10 people, he says. That's how righteous he is in his judgment. Oh, friends, God is, he doesn't delight in judgment, as we've said. What about Genesis 19, the next chapter, when now the Lord rained fire and brimstone? The angels came and said to Lot, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. So the angel said, look, we've sent to destroy the city. We are anointed to destroy Sodom. The cry is great. It's come up to heaven. They filled the cup of the iniquity. We have to judge them. But Lot, then they pulled them out of the city, him and his daughters and his wife. Then his wife turned back, turned to a pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife. But the angel said, you need to get out of here because we can't do anything until you get out of here. Friends, God so respects his children. He so respects redemption in his children that he'll withhold judgment until he gets them into safety. So now when we're speaking about what's going to happen next in Ukraine and that, it's fine, friends. It'll take care of itself. These are birth pains. It's shaking the economies. We see, like you're saying, the energy crisis. It's not going to be an easy winter in Europe. These are signs of the times. Just like COVID was a sign of the time. But I cannot do anything till you come thither. Friends, this is how much God, like Abram said, Lord, surely you will never judge the righteous with the wicked. And the Lord says, I'll never do that. And when the Lord burns Sodom now, which is a type of the third woe, a type of Armageddon, a type of him burning this age, because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. It's a type of our age. The burning of Sodom is Armageddon, but the Lord wouldn't let any fire fall until his children were safely out, until the righteous, because Lot, it says, was a righteous man. Peter says it in his epistle. The heart of that righteous man was vexed by the sins of the city. He didn't do much good in the city, but he was a righteous man. Perfect example, again, as it was in the days of Noah, Jesus said, a type of our age. He never, not one drop of rain fell until Noah and his family were sealed away in the ark. And the prophet says, thus saith the Lord, not one of those nuclear missiles will fall. Yeah? As long as God's children are still on earth. God will seal them away. Then the missiles will fall. God will take them in a rapture, take them into his secret place. And then will come the judgment. Then comes mercy, the fullness. What we see in part now being visited upon the nations, it will then be visited upon the nations in the fullness of its power. And that's not a time that you want to be living in. And second, which links to it, We've mentioned this once before. The second principle of divine judgment, he will never pour out judgment through the blood. As long as there's people with the token, as long as there's people with the life of Christ, the life of the Lamb, the blood on display, as long as he's redeemed, his elect on earth, he can never pour judgment out when there's blood. And where's the example? Well, the first Exodus, we're now in the third Exodus, another type of our age. The plagues were in the earth. The judgments of God were already in Egypt. God is already judging the nations. But when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. So the death angel was commissioned. It couldn't touch those that were under the blood. That's why we see the power of the token in this age. Why the prophet had to preach that token message and stress that token message. Because that's the only thing that stands judgment. Is the token, because he can never pour forth judgment through the blood. Why? Because blood, the blood of the Lamb has already been judged. We were speaking about in Limerick on Sunday, about how the sixth seal, judgment seal, was opened on Christ on the cross. That's why we don't have to go into the tribulation, because we're in Christ. He already endured the death angel. He already endured the fullness of divine judgment being poured upon him on the cross. That's how we don't have to endure it, because we were in him when he died on the cross. Then the sword pierced his side, and here came the blood, the water, the spirit, which types the bride. There's the bride coming out of the second Adam as Eve was taken out of Adam. Jesus was judged on the cross and he died, said it's finished. Then the bride was taken out of him. So she's already been judged in Christ. There's now no condemnation, no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. Paul tells us, you can't be judged twice. Christ was judged for us. But that's only for those that are fully in Christ. Those that have really applied the blood. Those that have the token on display. Those that really have, you have the Holy Ghost. You have the life of the Lamb inside of you. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Judgment cannot fall upon this earth as long as the bride is still here. Because the bride is the representation of the blood on earth. She's the token bride. She's the word bride. And his word, his message of every age, is the bleeding word. It's the token on display. And while his children are still here, as much as when Noah was still walking around, and as long as Lot was still in Sodom, the fullness couldn't come. Let's finish up. God bless for that. So we can really, really see. So, if you ask ourselves in light of the principles of judgment, ask ourselves in light of scripture, in light of the message that we believe, could Putin use nuclear weapons in Ukraine now? Yes, but if he did, it would be very limited in use. And if he did now, friends, and it would get such a response, I doubt he'd be foolish enough to do that, but you never know. But will that escalate suddenly into Armageddon? No, it can't, because there's got to be a rapture first. There's got to be a squeeze. There's got to be a third pull. There's got to be, you know, the fullness of the manifestation of the sons of God and the people of God. And then there's got to be the earthquake. The graves have got to be opened. The dead in Christ have got to rise. We've got to see them among us for that period, 30 to 40 days. Then the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are living and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord. And then we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. At the same time, 3.5 years, the marriage supper of the Lamb is the 3.5 years of the sixth seal, of judgment seal, the tribulation period, a time of trouble such as never has been upon the earth since man was upon the earth, Jesus said. Then the vials will be poured, but not before God seals the elect Jews, the 144,000. Those angels are told, hold back the fullness until we seal the servants of our God and our Father. And once they sealed away, they die for their faith. Then the vials are poured out. God's judgment is poured out without measure upon the earth. And the final, under the seventh vial, is Armageddon. You find then comes the burning of Sodom. Then those missiles are released, and the earth is burnt up with fervent heat, like Peter told us. And all the scriptures that we've read, you shall tread on the ashes of the wicked, and the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the other types, the burning of Sodom and so forth. But friends, all you need to do is make sure that you are in Christ. That's the place of refuge. That's the place of, he's the ark in our age. Now, you just make sure that you've applied the blood, that you've received the Holy Ghost, that it's not just your life trying to live a Christian life, but you've laid yourself upon the altar. You've yielded your life to him. You're trusting in him who endured the fullness of judgment for you. And then you lay your soul before him and he seals. The fire from heaven comes and he applies the token. The blood is applied to the door. And judgment I will pass over. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So let's pray. Lord, you help us at this time. Lord, even as we think of these things, Father, things that are to be, Father, blessed things, the blessed hope of the believer. Oh, Lord, how we thank you, Father. But Lord, we see the shadows, Lord, now, and we see the portents in the earth. We see the shakings and the pestilences, and we see the rattling of the swords now, the clashes that are taking place. And we know these are all speaking to one thing, Lord. So you help us as individuals, Lord, to hide ourselves in you. Father, Lord, just to check up at this time, to say, but Lord, it's all well with us. Yeah. If it's not ready, if you're not ready, Lord, you help us.
Stop it.
To commit ourselves to you, Lord, and ask for your blessing upon the remainder.
Stop.
Amen. It's okay, Hezekiah. No problem. Your mommy will give you some milk. God bless you, saints.
He wants to take the phones and the devices.
he's a serious guy. Saints, any questions before we finish off there? Does anybody have any questions?
That's very scary, Pastor. Very, very scary.
Yeah, Barbara, Patrick, God bless you. It's good to see you. Yes, it's scary in one side, but it's like if you lived in the days of the plagues of Egypt, if you were in Goshen, you were under the pillar of fire, you were walking with the Lord. The Bible says when the Lord judged Egypt, it was when there's darkness in Egypt, it was light in Goshen. Now, when the waters turned to blood there, yeah, it was fine on the other side. So to those that are in Christ, he's already borne our judgment. He'll see us safely through. There's no need to panic. But for the world, it's a fearful time. It indeed is.
Yeah, as I was saying, it's scary. Like, in other words, is I need to prepare myself better for the coming of Jesus. Prepare myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. Scary that way. Like, if we don't do it or, you know, anyone that doesn't do it.
True.
It can be very scary. I mean, yes, I'm not space now, of the space at the moment.
And that's where, Patrick, the type of that is Matthew 25, when Jesus speaks of the foolish virgin, that she didn't have the oil in her lamp when it came time for the wedding supper, when the bridegroom came to call them to the wedding supper. Yeah. And those with oil went into the wedding supper, but those without oil, though they were righteous, I mean, they had white garments, they were virgins, they went into the tribulation period where there was weeping, wailing, and gnashing. So there's a purging. So, you know, these people are saved now. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're not filled with the Holy Ghost. They're not walking with Christ. It doesn't mean they'll be lost. If the rapture comes, they'll be left behind, but they'll go into the tribulation period, but they'll have to stand now, because now there'll be an enforcement of the mark of the beast. So now you'll have to stand, refuse the mark of the beast, and there'll be a persecution. So it's a hard way to go, but there is the foolish virgin will go that way.
Like, I often hear about, you know, the seven seals or seven churches, but the study that you did tonight now is really have to open up all about that.
Yeah.
Where before, I'm going to be honest, I didn't understand that part, because I never really got into a study on the book of Revelation. So it's still new to me. But I've still good knowledge where to be saving that. But that's scary. That is very scary. should waken even ourselves up to prepare ourselves better.
That's why I wanted to try to just revisit some of it again and even just speak a little bit about these nuclear weapons and that, because I think people don't realize this like time bomb the world is sitting on, and it's in the hands of these crazy people. It's not in the hands of
It's crazy.
No, and if you think, Brother Sasha was just asking where you're from, I'll just say, Brother Sasha, Patrick, he came to church a couple of weeks back, and then We were speaking on the phone again today, and he's going to come again on Sunday. He's looking to be baptized. So he's a brother who lives near the church in Dublin. So he's been
yeah, coming. Like, I don't know if many people know, but I lived 4 years in Moscow back in 94 to 98.
Interesting.
And Putin was under his training, he trained him as well. And so anyway, I have to say, majority of the Russian people that I experienced in my time living in Moscow, they're lovely people.
Absolutely.
The Russian people are scared with fear. No, Putin is another form of communist.
Yeah, absolutely, it's true.
And the people of Russia don't realize that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And they're feared into everything. They can't even go and do a demonstration, or they're either locked up or killed or whatever it is. And well, go on.
I think people are voting with their feet. I mean, you look, in the last week, we have some friends in Russia, some really good believers that we know there. And
yeah.
I mean, 300,000 young men in just the last week have left the country because they don't want to be part of
it. Near a million now.
Yeah, can you see that? It's just getting more and more and more. It's crazy. So, it's like there's a certain percentage. It's like when we were in Zimbabwe when you grew up as well. You find someone takes control. They rule the police. They rule the army. You can't have opposition anymore. The newspapers have to bow down. It's like such a repressive system that even the people that don't agree with it, they can't express that. The moment you express it, like you saw those protests, whoop, off you go. The police take you off, secret police, in you go in the back of a van, and you hope you'll be seen again. So, yes, I really feel sorry. Even a lot of those young Russian guys being sent to fight, the 300,000, they don't want to go there. They don't believe in this war. I mean, it's like they don't want to be there. They just want to be home like you and I. They want to be at their wives.
You know what I've seen on the news there, on the Google there this evening?
Yeah.
That Russian are offering the families of the people 5 kilos of food to keep going for a few weeks while their sons or husbands are gone. Like, they're trying to bribe them, like, you know what I mean? Five kilos of food. That wouldn't even keep me going for, well, it wouldn't keep me going for a day anyway. I was just saying, I don't like getting into politics around like that, but that's a scary study tonight. And I mean that with the highest respect. It shows that I need to prepare myself. You know what I mean? Anything, and this includes everyone as well that's watching here.
Absolutely.
We need to prepare ourselves. And I have to point the finger back at myself. Not pointing it back at anyone. I need to point it at myself first. Prepare myself. Look at my heart. And just pray to God and ask Him to guide me, forgive me, and all this stuff.
And the safety of it is, it's simple. It's being in Christ. It's like when you see this world, you see the way that it's going, you see the judgments already starting and things falling apart, it makes you just want to be close to the Lord. Because like I said to you on the phone, when you're in Him, everything makes sense. When you're in this...
You said three points to me there today as well.
Yeah.
Be in church, in the Word, and
In fellowship. Pray. Yes. You be in the Word, be in prayer, and be in fellowship, and that'll really...
Yeah, you said three things there today, and that really hit me. And then the study tonight has really put the icing on the cake.
God bless, bro. Brad Greg, you want to say something as well there, bro? Thank you so much, Patrick. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, brother. See, I'm just trying to think, like you said, in Egypt and the Goshen, I think when in the other hand, Patrick says it's scary, and I in a way I get it because that's the first thought comes. It's scary. But I think when those Israelites from the Goshen look at many of those Egyptians could be, I don't know, I'm just thinking the story. They could be their friends. They could be their colleagues. Maybe they could be somebody there from the Egypt. So when those Israelites look from Goshen to them in the Egypt when the plagues fall, I think they feel sorry for them, and they feel that they felt that if they only could help them somehow or true, it could be just, so I'm just looking for maybe the other angle of they maybe felt sorry for them that happened that way and stuff like that, you know. So I think they just try to look maybe in the other hand a bit of the fear, or maybe.
But put it like this, my Greg. Let's say that you were living in Egypt, say, and you didn't. Well, let's put it to Jericho. Let's say you were living in Jericho, like Rahab, and you didn't know what was coming. And then somebody came and showed you and said, these judgments are already in the earth. Joshua's already on his way. Egypt's already been judged. Israel's already crossed the River Jordan. You see these great walls you're trusting in. There's going to get a shaking. This is all going to fall down. The sword's going to come. Now Joshua's going to come, the destroying angel. Destroy everyone in here without mercy. If you had been an Israelite that had heard that with Joshua for months and months and months, it wouldn't have such an effect over you to say, look, when Joshua would come and say, the walls are going to fall. You say, yeah, we know that's going to. But you think of someone, say like Patrick, where it's something which you haven't really considered before. You know, you can understand if you were like Rahab, when she went to her family and said, guys, there's not much time. These walls are going to fall. Judgment's just outside the gate and this and that. That must have shocked them. They would have been scared at first to say, but hey, what are we supposed to do? We didn't know it's so late. You see, we as believers, we get quite conditioned by things. We get used to them. But think of when you first came to the faith. It shakes you. I remember when I first came to the Lord and I went to Brother Clint, the brother testified, and in the night, I said, brother, I want you to baptize me now. Because if Christ comes now, I'm not ready. It's like it really shook you to see the lateness of the hour. And to feel you're not ready at that time, you know. So I'm just trying to balance it like that. Is that, yeah? We start getting a little bit used to some of the things. Whereas, you know, when Brahman said that, he says the signs of the time should throw the church into desperation. I mean, it's true if you really think about it. But we've got a little bit too used to the signs of the times. You know, it's become a natural thing to us. Whereas once in a while, it's good to let it sink in and think, but yay, whew. It's later than you think. You say, let's get a little bit closer, like Daniel chapter 9. Let's seek the Lord a little bit more. Let's confess our sins, the sins of our people. Let's make sure everything's right and in order. So, you know, I think it's good once in a while to have a bit of a checkup time. Anything else?
I really believe so. You know, the angle I was just thinking as well, maybe yeah. It's just, as you said, we know about those things. And look, everybody's different, but you could just feel for the people who don't know those things. Yeah, that kind of, you know. So that's kind of the angle I would look at this, because this was brought a very good study, very sobering. But it as well makes me think about others who don't know those things.
I think, that's the best way. You know, that's why it depends on if you inside looking out, like Rahab when she was in her house looking through the scarlet thread, through the token. She saw things in a different, she'd be feeling sorry now, saying, but hey, if only these people realized. Now, where's a person on the outside now? They looked at it in a different kind of a way. You know, so we're looking at it through prophecy. We're looking at it through the word, through the token. So that's how we look at it the way that we are. And that's the grace of God, bruh. That is absolutely the grace and the goodness of God. Like we said in Limerick and Sunday, that this grace was purchased for us at such a great price with Christ on the cross, because we can't just go free from judgment and the world goes into judgment. That wouldn't be fair. We also have to be judged, but we were judged in Christ. You see, that's where our tribulation period was. So it makes you just want to hide yourself in Him. Make sure you're in the secret place of the Most High. Like I read that quote from the token, until every desire you have is of Him, until your heart, He's all that your heart desires, then you know the token is on display. And when He's real inside of it, you want to help other people as well. You know, so I think if the Lord can just take us that next step, it'll be a blessing.
Amen, brother. Thank you.
Amen. Thanks, brother. Anybody else there before we finish, saints? Yes, Brother Clayton. God bless, bro.
Yes, Pastor. God bless you.
God bless you. How are you doing, bro?
Thank you so much for the wonderful Bible study. I really enjoyed it so much. I just wanted to mention one point to say the most striking thing to me is that you find many young people and together with the world leaders that are there now, they don't realize the the destructiveness of these nuclear weapons, and they seem not to be aware really of how bad they are.
That's true.
Until one of the military experts was getting worried about what these leaders perceive of these weapons. So there is a spirit that is kind of like hitting the nations.
Amen.
And also the young people, especially the young leaders that are coming up, that they don't realize what a destruction the world is going to be once they start getting used.
That's true.
It was a good Bible study, especially for some of our young people as well, so that we get to appreciate the kind of weapons that they are, and also the impact to which they can be of destruction.
And also,
thank you so much, Pastor, for that.
Thank you, Brad. And the thing of it is, Brad Clayton, is the word says they're going to be used. That's the thing. You see, it's like, phew. You know, it's really, it's a sign of the time, a sign of the age, is that these things are stored up for this age, that we're in the atomic age. You know, we could never, ever have thought of how those scriptures were going to be fulfilled. How could it be that, you know, the day comes that's going to burn as an oven? You know, how is it going to be the burning of Sodom? How are all of these things going to be fulfilled? That's our man now climbs too high up on the tree of knowledge and never balances it with the tree of life. He goes too high, and then he makes the instruments of his own destruction. He gets so deep into God's laboratory on nuclear physics and all of this until he breaks the atom. And now you get into the nuclear age. And like I said, that's what finished the Second World War. It was the opening of the nuclear age. It was Hiroshima, Nagasaki, when the Americans used the atomic bombs to finish the war with Japan. That finished the war, but that opened the atomic age. And now we are children of the atomic age, which is children of the third world. This is the age that we're living in. Yeah, and no, you can look at it in every way. Look at it militarily, look at it in the newspaper, look at it in the scripture, look at it wherever you go. Everything's pointing to the same thing. But like we said in church the other day, is that it's quite an easy thing to catch things intellectually. But sometimes it's good to really take it before the Lord and say, Lord, you know, let this sink into me. Let me realize that, like the children of Israel, the disciples, when Jesus told them, Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. This generation's going to see the judgment of Jerusalem. And they said, when will it be? And he says, when you see the armies coming and gathering around Jerusalem, you know, head to the mountains. You can imagine they lived there. They went to their jobs. They lived their life. But all the time they had that in the back of their minds. They knew, those disciples, that let's not make our foundations too deep here. Let's not make ourselves too much at home here, because just any time now, we're already hearing the rumors of wars coming, that the Romans have come into whatever, Turkey or into Syria. And then the next thing they heard, the Romans are now in Lebanon. And the next thing, the Romans are now in Samaria. And the next, you know, it was getting closer and closer and closer. And they were going about their business, because you must keep planting your potatoes. Absolutely. Be faithful to the Lord where he put you. But they would always have those, the prophecy of Jesus, the Son of Man, concerning their age in the back of their minds. They knew that these things, and when the Jews were boasting about their great temple, Jehovah will never forsake this temple. And they would look at the walls of Jerusalem. Those believers would look at it in a totally different way. They knew that, hey, this place is on borrowed time. Yeah, the only thing that it's waiting for is the Lord to seal the last of his elect. And then all that was spoken is going to be visited, Jesus said, on this generation. You know, so, you know, you can imagine it made them believers that were not just the fear, but they'd be kingdom minded to say, but Lord, let's work while it's day, because we know our days are numbered. We know that there's a countdown that's on and we're heading somewhere. It's not always going to be like this. And I think that's a good thing. If you wait on the Lord for that too, like Noah, when he knew, I only have so much time to build this ark. Every day was in the back of his mind. And he had seen this vision of the thunder, the lightning, the judgment coming upon the earth. And that was real to him. By faith, Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his household. So he mixed it with faith. There was an impact. Revelation brings an impact inside of us. So that's all I'm trying to do through this. Consider it. And take it before the Lord into your closet. Draw close to the Lord and say, Lord, what are you asking of me to do in light of these things? And I think each of us in our own calling, if it could just spur us on, you know, just to take one more renewed effort. If you got off from the battlefield, let's get back on the battlefield once again. Let's finish things up for the Lord, who's been very gracious to us. Brother Greg, I think because you spoke there last, maybe you can pray for us. Because, well, Brother Clayton spoke last. So maybe, Brother Clayton, if you could please pray for us, Brother, before we finish, we would be grateful. And God bless you, saints. It was wonderful to be with you this evening. Please keep us in prayer for the weekend and for next week. And may the Lord bless you wherever you are. Bless your churches, your pastors, the ministry, and be with you until we meet once again. Is Brother Clayton there or did he run away? I think he ran away. Okay, Brother Greg, will you pray for us, Brother? Thanks, Brother.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just would like to thank you for all the good things that you've done for us, Lord Jesus. You give us, Lord Jesus, a ministry, Lord Jesus. You give us your word. You give us, Lord Jesus, all the tools that only if we just use them, Lord, that will be, Lord Jesus, a runway to safety. But, Lord, you die for us, Lord Jesus. You came down in the flesh and you die for my sins and for sins of all the people. If they only could realize that, Lord Jesus, and if they only could accept, Lord, what you've done for them, Lord Jesus, that will be only for their benefit, Lord. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for the servant that you, Lord Jesus, give us this night, Lord. That, Lord Jesus, you put him aside, that you could give him inspiration, Lord Jesus, to help us to realize once more how late it is. Because that phrase, it's later than you think, it went for years and years, and it's very easy that later than you think. But, Lord Jesus, it's really late. So, Lord, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that this subject bring us even closer. The people say it's 100 seconds to midnight. And, Lord, only you know, Lord, how much time we have left. So, Lord, we just want to pray and ask you that, Lord, you will forgive us all what we've done wrong and help us, Lord Jesus, to tighten up a little bit. Help us, Lord Jesus, to get in the desperation. But the most important, help us to go under the token, Lord, that all will be well, oh Lord Jesus. We all want to be, Lord Jesus, with you, Lord. So, Lord, please prepare us and help us to forget about the many times maybe silliness of this world, that a big problem that seems to be yesterday, it's not that big anymore because it's Lord Jesus, a different time now, Lord. So help us, Lord. Even, Lord Jesus, upon this week that's coming, a Friday, a prayer meeting, Lord. It's a Sunday service as well, Lord Jesus, if you tarry. So please, Lord Jesus, help us go one day at a time, step by step, closer to you, oh Lord Jesus, that we forget about all this and we pick up our cross and follow you like you told us to do, Lord Jesus. Help us to be appliers of the word, not just hearers, Lord Jesus. Help us to be a doers, Lord Jesus, of your word, that we all ends up well on the end, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please, Lord Jesus, bless remaining of this night, those ones who couldn't make it, Lord. Please, Lord Jesus, bless them. Please, Lord Jesus, bless those ones who are here, Lord Jesus, and open up, Lord Jesus, and give them revelation. Give us all revelation, Lord Jesus, and help us this message to soak in, as brother was saying, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for the lost, Lord Jesus, because, Lord Jesus, they are people still out there that they are children, Lord Jesus. It's very easy to put them all in one box. But, Lord, there are many, many of them, Lord Jesus, still waiting, Lord Jesus, that message will go to them, Lord Jesus. Help us to reach for them, O Lord, as we, Lord Jesus, yield to you, that you will lead us what to do and where to go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless each and every one. Wonderful to be with you, saints. Have a good night. Brother Will, safe journey tomorrow as well. And God bless you, saints. Have a good night.
Amen.
God bless. Sister Lydia, God bless, sister.
Thank you so much. Sorry, I was listening on YouTube.
No problem, sister. All is well. Keep us in prayer. Greetings to the family.
I just want to ask, is Pablo still there? Because, brother, that wasn't Apache, it was a Pablo.
Oh, see. Sorry, I saw that on the notes there. Yeah, I saw that. God bless Pablo.
I was just wondering. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.